In the heart of Silicon Valley, where dreams are born and fortunes are made, a young woman dared to dream bigger than anyone before her. What drove this ambitious mind to pursue a revolutionary idea that could change the world of healthcare forever? She had it all: wealth, power, and the unwavering belief that she could achieve the impossible. She fulfilled her dream of building a huge empire worth billions of dollars. But hidden underneath her huge empire worth billions, there was a dark secret waiting to come out, threatening the very existence of everything she had worked for. Welcome to Profit Predators Business Scams Unveiled, where the glossy facade of entrepreneurship meets its shadowy counterpart. In this series, we dive deep into the world of white-collar crime, unraveling the stories of ambition turned deception. From the boardrooms to the courtroom, we expose the mechanisms and minds behind the most notorious business scams. These are tales of greed, betrayal, and the pursuit of wealth at any cost. Stay with us as we reveal the true cost of these crimes, not just in dollars, but in trust and human impact. Your journey into the darker side of business starts now. Elizabeth Holmes was born in Washington, D.C. on February 3, 1984. Her father, Christian Rasmus Holmes IV, held a vice president position at Enron, an energy company that faced bankruptcy due to an accounting fraud scandal. Her mother, Noel Ann, formerly Daoust, was employed as a staffer for a congressional committee. Later on, Christian worked in top roles in government organizations like USAID, the EPA, and USTDA. Elizabeth admired her father because he was an idealist, just as she saw herself. When she was 9 years old, she wrote a letter to her father saying that she wanted to discover something new, something that nobody knew was possible. She also wanted to learn about people in life because she found it very interesting. Being with her father was her favorite thing in the world. She wanted to achieve something in her life that others thought was impossible. When relatives asked her what she wanted to do when she grew up, she immediately replied that she wanted to be a billionaire. One relative suggested she become president instead, but she declined, saying that the president would want to marry her because she'd have $1 billion. While in high school at St. John's School in Houston, she liked computer programming and began her first business selling C++ compilers to Chinese universities. Her parents had organized Mandarin Chinese tutoring at home, which she started during high school. She was an excellent student, always getting top grades. In the spring of 2002, she was admitted to Stanford University, the school she had always wanted to go to. It was the best place to follow her dream of becoming a billionaire and bringing back honor to the Holmes family name. Elizabeth planned to launch a company, specifically a startup in Silicon Valley. Although she wasn't sure about the details of the startup yet, she believed that her chemical engineering professor, Channing Robertson, would be a great guide in figuring it out. Robertson was well known in Stanford's engineering department, but Elizabeth was more interested in his experience outside of academics. He had been involved with several successful startups in Silicon Valley, which impressed her. Elizabeth recognized that gaining the approval of Channing Robertson, a respected figure in Silicon Valley, would boost her credibility with others in the industry. To achieve this, she enrolled in his classes and seminars, eventually lobbying for a spot in his research lab, which he granted despite her freshman status. Robertson was impressed by her determination, intelligence, and mature demeanor, which instilled confidence in her abilities. Her peers also admired her confidence. While she enjoyed socializing in college, her main focus remained on her work in the lab and her unwavering dedication to her goals. During her freshman year winter break, Elizabeth's father inquired about her thoughts on pursuing a PhD, a common path for chemical engineers. However, Elizabeth expressed her desire to prioritize making money over obtaining degrees. She felt that even completing 4 years of undergraduate studies at Stanford was too lengthy, especially witnessing the surge of young tech startup founders in Silicon Valley, whom she admired and aspired to emulate. She was determined to join their ranks and believed she could achieve it. But before becoming a Silicon Valley founder, Elizabeth needed to determine her company's product. She secured a summer internship in Singapore, testing patients for SARS, which sparked an idea, selling a new disease testing method. This innovation not only promised wealth, but also served a humanitarian purpose. It was an ideal way to prove she was worthy of the Holmes name. Upon returning from Singapore, Elizabeth secluded herself in her parents' house, conceiving designs for a revolutionary medical method. She envisioned a patch-like device that could diagnose and treat illnesses simultaneously upon application to the patient's arm. When she shared her idea with Channing Robertson upon returning to campus in fall 2003, he was impressed by her creativity and determination, though unsure of its feasibility. Nevertheless, he encouraged her to pursue her dream, which spurred Elizabeth into action. She swiftly dropped out of Stanford and initiated the process to establish her business, with Robertson lending his support as her first board member and endorsing her vision publicly. In May 2004, Ian Gibbons, fresh from completing his PhD in Robertson's lab, became Elizabeth's first employee. At only 19 years old, Elizabeth embarked on realizing her dreams. She sought angel investors, and her parents were the first to support her, offering the money they had saved for her college tuition. Although uncertain about her decision to drop out of college, Elizabeth convinced them by highlighting the profitability of the blood testing industry. Despite her parents' generous contribution, she still required additional funding. With the Holmes family's extensive network, Elizabeth approached their connections, including Tim Draper, a longtime family friend. Draper, known for his substantial wealth, had a significant background as a venture capitalist, continuing his grandfather's legacy by investing in promising startups like Hotmail during their early stages. After delivering a compelling pitch outlining her groundbreaking plans, Tim Draper agreed to invest $1 million in Elizabeth's venture, lending her considerable credibility in the industry. By the end of 2004, she had amassed $6 million in funding, primarily from family and friends who trusted Draper's reputation. However, when Elizabeth approached MedVenture Associates, a venture capital firm specializing in medical technology, they were skeptical. While Elizabeth's grand vision captivated them initially, they grew concerned about the lack of technical details and her apparent unfamiliarity with the scientific aspects of her invention. This skepticism was echoed by Stanford professor Phyllis Gardner, who questioned the feasibility of Elizabeth's device and the practicality of removing doctors from the diagnostic process. After receiving feedback from both MedVenture Associates and Phyllis Gardner, Elizabeth left Gardner's office without any support. However, she remained determined not to give up, especially after sacrificing her Stanford education and using up her tuition money to fund her new company. Elizabeth had already named her venture Theranos, combining therapy and diagnosis into one innovative term. Elizabeth decided to abandon her original concept of a combined test and treat patch and instead focus solely on the diagnostic aspect of the project. The patch would now exclusively perform the testing function. Elizabeth and Gibbons devised a plan to create a portable blood testing device that could operate using a small blood sample and be utilized in patients' homes. While similar devices exist for monitoring blood glucose levels in diabetes patients, Theranos aimed to expand this concept to include all blood tests ordered by doctors, potentially revolutionizing healthcare and appealing to pharmaceutical companies. This device could enable patients in clinical trials to conveniently test their blood at home and transmit results directly to their doctors, eliminating the need for hospital visits. By late 2005, both Elizabeth and Gibbons were optimistic about the revised invention. Elizabeth expanded her team rapidly, growing to 24 staff members within less than 2 years. They successfully developed a prototype of their blood testing device, initially named Theranos 1.0, but later dubbed the Edison. However, the prototype was more of a conceptual model than a fully functional product, requiring additional funding to progress. Building a medical device proved costly, with expenses such as payroll, rent, and equipment quickly depleting their initial funding. Elizabeth sought more investors, aiming to convince new backers of her visionary potential. Elizabeth began embodying traits reminiscent of Steve Jobs, including wearing a black turtleneck and adopting a deeper voice, which contributed to her success in securing additional funding. She attracted major investor Don Lucas, who was impressed by her vision and joined her board, leading to a successful Series B funding round of $9 million. Despite lacking a working product, Theranos and Elizabeth appeared promising. However, challenges arose in the development process, particularly regarding the technical complexities of creating a blood testing device that used minimal blood samples. Elizabeth's impatience with the engineering process became apparent as she demanded 24, 7 operation of the engineering department, displaying a disregard for employee well-being. Despite concerns from CFO Henry Mosley about overpromising, Elizabeth confidently presented rosy revenue projections based on potential contracts, leading to further investment. By November 2006, Henry Mosley had helped Elizabeth secure an additional $32 million in investment, boosting Theranos' valuation to $165 million. Despite these accomplishments, Mosley harbored doubts about the validity of the revenue projections, as he had never seen the pharmaceutical contracts they were based on. Shaunak Roy, a key team member, revealed that the Edison prototype often failed, and investor demonstrations relied on pre-recorded tests to override errors. Shocked by this deception, Mosley confronted Elizabeth, who justified the lies as necessary to secure funding. She fired Mosley and assumed responsibility for investor relations herself, successfully convincing notable figures like Avi Tavanian to join Theranos. Despite doubts and a lack of evidence of success, Elizabeth's unwavering conviction in her vision continued to attract support. Ramesh Sunny Balwani became Elizabeth's right-hand man, joining Theranos as COO in September 2009. It was later discovered that they were romantically involved. Holmes announced a partnership with Walgreens, marking a decade since the founding of Theranos. The first wellness center opened in Palo Alto. Forbes named Elizabeth one of America's richest women, estimating her wealth at $4.5 billion with a 50% stake in Theranos. In December 2014, Theranos raised over $400 million, with investors including Oracle's Larry Ellison. In July 2015, Theranos received FDA approval for a fingerstick blood test for the herpes simplex 1 virus, utilizing its proprietary tiny blood collection vials. Theranos faced scrutiny from a Wall Street Journal investigation in October 2015, which revealed that the company used its proprietary technique on only a small fraction of the tests it offered, with most tests performed using traditional blood drawn from the arm. Theranos defended its practices but halted the use of its blood collection vials for all tests except the herpes test due to FDA pressure. Amid criticism, Theranos restructured its board of directors and formed a separate medical board. Additionally, the partnership between Theranos and Safeway, which aimed to offer blood tests in supermarkets, faced challenges and was ultimately dissolved. Theranos faced issues with its California lab as federal regulators found it non-compliant with standards, prompting Walgreens to suspend services at its Palo Alto location. CMS threatened to ban Elizabeth and Balwani from the lab business for 2 years. In May 2016, Balwani stepped down and Theranos voided 2 years of blood test results. By June 2016, Forbes revised Elizabeth's net worth to $0, and Theranos lost its largest retail partner. In July 2016, Elizabeth was banned from running labs for 2 years, and Theranos introduced the mini lab device to bypass CMS sanctions. Theranos faced legal troubles as partner fund management sued the company for securities fraud, leading to layoffs and downsizing. Theranos downsized further and failed a regulatory lab inspection in January 2017. Walgreens sued for breach of contract, which was settled in August 2017. Theranos settled with CMS and the Arizona Attorney General, paying fines and agreeing to restrictions. Elizabeth, in March 2018, was charged with massive fraud by the SEC, leading to her relinquishing control of Theranos, while Balwani contested the charges that were brought against him. In June 2018, Elizabeth and Balwani were indicted on federal wire fraud charges for allegedly defrauding investors, doctors, and patients. Both pleaded not guilty. Just before the charges were disclosed, Elizabeth resigned as CEO of Theranos. David Taylor, the company's general counsel, assumed the role of CEO, while Holmes retained her position as chair of the board. Unfortunately, in September 2018, Theranos announced its dissolution. It was disclosed that Elizabeth, in September 2020, would pursue a mental disease defense in her criminal fraud trial. Later, in August 2021, unsealed court documents suggested she would assert being a victim of a decade-long abusive relationship with Balwani. This led to their trials being separated, with Balwani's trial scheduled for 2022. Elizabeth's trial, delayed multiple times, resulted in her being found guilty of one count of conspiracy to defraud investors, as well as three wire fraud counts tied to specific investors in January 2022. Balwani's trial commenced in March 2022, leading to his conviction in July 2022. Elizabeth requested a new trial in September 2022, based on a key witness's alleged regrets. However, in November 2022, she was convicted on four counts of defrauding investors and sentenced to 11 years and 3 months in prison. Elizabeth is presently serving her sentence in a minimum security federal women's prison camp in Bryan, Texas. The story of Elizabeth Holmes highlights the importance of balancing ambition and innovation with integrity, honesty, and ethical principles.
Thank you for joining us on Profit Predators Business Scams Unveiled. Today's journey through the intricate webs of deceit and ambition reminds us of the price of unbridled greed. As we conclude, remember, awareness and integrity are our best defenses in a world where profit can often precede principle. For more insights and stories that peel back the layers of the business world's darker side, subscribe and stay tuned. Together, we'll continue to share stories that shock and shape our marketplaces. Until next time, stay informed and always question the integrity behind the profits.